Greetings and welcome in. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 131, coming to you here on the Watchdog Network from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling. Here on a pleasant spring day, I will say. I'm not much of a spring guy, but low 60s out there, so it's feeling pretty decent. Not a lot of wind and no rain right now, although I didn't mind the showers we had the last couple of days, but that's neither here nor there. Thanks for tuning in today. We got a lot to talk about, recapping some horse racing, got some hockey and basketball playoffs to touch on. Of course, we'll update Major League Baseball. We got golf to cover. We got a little bit of football with the UFL starting to, I don't want to say figure out, but getting a little bit of a handle on the UFL. Car racing back at it. We got IndyCar and the F1 guys. Nothing for F1 this week. They're coming back from Miami on their way to Italy, but we'll recap that race, talk about Indy, which will now be at Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the next few weeks with the road course coming up this weekend, and then a few weeks until the big race, the 400-mile race, or the 500-mile race. I don't know why I said 400. A Brickyard 400 used to be run there. The Indianapolis 500-mile race will be here on Memorial Day weekend at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We're going to talk a little Pope action, conclave underway. Still black smoke at this moment, as I anticipated and many anticipated. And then we'll hit some AFL and some soccer in the back end of the program and talk a little bit about what's coming up on the Preakness, on the radar on the Preakness here in a couple of weeks. But let's get it started with how we did last week. It wasn't, we bounced back. We had a bounce back week. We were actually down units last week, which is the first time we've been down units since, I believe, early February. So not our best week 2 weeks ago. A little bit better this week. If you don't count the horse racing, we were up about 4.80 units over the last week. Horse racing depends on how you played it. If you listen to our show here, Better's Last Stand, or if you listen to our Pine Room on the Watchdog show on Friday, we talked extensively about the Derby, about who I liked, and from the very beginning, it was Sovereignty, and if Baeza drew in, Baeza was going to be a play. Both of those horses run winning races. Baeza just gets going a little too late, which is shocking for a jockey of Flavian Pratt status. It takes a while sometimes for these horses to get going, especially when they're young and 3 years old. But he was coming about a half a furlong, maybe a quarter of a furlong. He was going to win the race for sure. And Journalism runs second. We knew you had to include Journalism. It would have been nice if you'd have finished outside of that trifecta. It would have paid a little bit more. But if you played our recommendations, whether they were exactas, trifectas, superfectas, we had pretty much everything covered. The pick fours and the pick fives were not good, and the payouts weren't very good anyway. So even if we would have hit them, I wasn't as disappointed to not hit those. We missed one race. The one race that I really, really liked the most, race number 11, inside horse Frankie Dettori, and it was not a good run for that horse at all, and it kind of derailed us there. We would have had an even better weekend from a horse racing standpoint. But nonetheless, your exactas, your win play shows with the horses we gave out, and the tries, exactas, and superfectas all hit. You could have probably gotten about the way that I looked at it, if you did all those bets all different ways, you'd have had about $500 in, and we would have profited about $1,574 would have been the rough estimate. So that's about the max that you could have profited with our plays, which, you know, that's pretty good. When you're scratching out units in sports betting, you sometimes forget, I don't forget, but some people may, about how great horse racing is to actually bet on. Because, like I tell people all the time, you can have a terrible opinion for 11 races. In the 12th race, you have a great opinion, and it makes your whole day, and you end up in the green or the black or however you want to look at it, out of the red. Nonetheless, horse racing is the best game there is. I know a lot of people don't like it. A lot of people bash it. A lot of people say it's lost its luster. Well, it hasn't. Not to me. And it's something you just, I don't know. If you don't love it, maybe you don't understand. But great stuff there at Churchill Downs. Great, great performances by Sovereignty, by Baeza, a few other horses that ran big races there and on the entire Churchill Downs card. All right, so let's keep it going here. So again, we were up 4.80 units. You could have been up about $1,500, a little bit more than that, if you played all the horse racing plays and constructed the tickets. You know, throughout the entire, you know, whether you played win, play, shows, exactas, tries, and supers, could have had a nice go there. Solverty comes in, I think 8-1 was his final odds. And, we'll take that. It's a solid price. We beat the favorite, and that's what we were here to do. Golf, not so great. Burns and Siwoo cash, though. So decent there. We treaded a little bit of water there. AFL, we were 10-5. We were 7-0 on Sunday. So I was very, very happy. After the Derby, not that I was happy that we gave out the winner. People that listened to the radio show and this podcast, Bettors Last Stand, should have profited from our picks. I was a little bit disappointed in the payouts because I knew if journalism ran in there, was it gonna knock it down a little bit, and just a little frustrated there, and a little bit frustrated that the pick fives and the pick fours didn't pay better and we didn't hit them. But when I woke up on, I watched some of the games on Saturday night in the AFL, and then I woke up in the morning and was like, geez, I went 7-0. So 7-0 in AFL overnight from late Saturday into Sunday. So we'll take that anytime. 6-11 in the EPL, not our best there. England Championship, we were 3-2. NASCAR, not great again. But Daniel Suarez, nice top 10 ticket with him, and another nice top 10 ticket with Austin Dillon, actually plus 450. So very, very good price from him. F1, we cashed with Antonelli in a top 6, double top 6 from Mercedes. So those were two good ones. IndyCar, Alex Palou just continues to win. No luck with the winner there, trying to beat him at a really low price. Scott McLaughlin was third, and Will Power was fifth. So we had strong opinions there again, and Indy's been pretty good to us so far, so can't complain. Let's recap the Kentucky Derby. Of course, Sovereignty gets the job done. Great, great job by Junior Alvarado, Bill Mott, the entire Godolphin team. I was extremely confident in this horse. The only horse that I thought could beat him was Baeza, and it turned out that was going to be the only one that could beat him. He ran right past journalism. I just didn't think journalism was battle-tested enough and was going to have what it takes to really grit it out. Sovereignty, much more battle-tested, ran against better, loved the Churchill Downs track, which we knew. We talked about it last week. He had a win over the track, and a very good race and a win over the track. So that was all good. The way Bill Mott talked about him, about how he upped his training, and it was like he knew spring training was over and it's time to go for the big leagues. When a horse does that, and the trainer like Bill Mott, who's seen thousands upon thousands upon thousands of horses under his care in his career, and you know, this guy's in the Hall of Fame already, and for a reason. And when he says stuff like that, you got to feel very, very good. And when Junior Alvarado talked about working the horse in the morning, about how the horse like took it to another level too, and I was like, wow, well, if this horse gets even a half a good trip, he's going to have a really good shot of winning this race. And he certainly did. Comes down the stretch. There was no doubt in my mind he was going by journalism. I felt very good about that. Could he hold on to Baeza charging late, which wouldn't have mattered much to us because we had it either way. Actually, Baeza a little bit better of a price. But I'm happy for Bill Mott. Godolphin wins the Derby for the first time, that big contingent. And Junior Alvarado, a guy who just has a really good knack of riding horses and understanding them. So Junior Alvarado is not a guy that I would just say, you throw on any horse and he's going to make the horse better. No. So I've had plenty of criticisms of Junior Alvarado as a rider in my time of following horse racing. But when he develops a kinship with these animals, he's as good as it gets. He relates to them so well. And if he finds a horse that suits him and the horse feels like Junior suits him and they have just a great working chemistry, then it's going to be great. You saw it with Cody's Wish. You see it here. I mean, there's been several examples of it. So Junior Alvarado, hats off to him. He doesn't get a whole lot of notoriety. He almost got ran out of the New York colony just because he wasn't having, you know, a great run of success because it's just so competitive and so good, and it's tough to find good rides. But Bill Mott, Godolphin stuck with him, and he really fits what they do and most of the horses that they train. So now that brings us to the Preakness, but let's recap the Derby. Sovereignty, journalism, Baeza, and Final Gambit, a horse that we talked about. The only thing we were a little worried about was his surface. Could he handle the surface? And he certainly did. A nice fourth there. Would have been nice if it could have went Baeza, Sovereignty, Final Gambit. That would have paid very nice. Owen Almighty, the horse that was on the outside. I will say, the only horse that we went through, he either here or on the radio on Friday of last week and told you, I immediately went through horses that I said had no chance of winning. And I think we got most of those right, but Owen Almighty was one that I didn't expect the effort that I saw at him. So kudos to him and his team. Really, really good run for a horse like that to be up near the pace and to hang on to fifth. And you know, he wasn't really hanging on either. He was at least treading water late. So really something to keep an eye on there. Maybe Owen Almighty comes back in some of these races, and you know, he could be a price and maybe catch a ticket. I think that's a horse that's coming along quite well. Burnham Square was six. Sandman, I just didn't love Sandman. People were really on to him because he was a closer, and people will say he's a Belmont horse, which I disagree with. Burnham Square ran a decent race. East Avenue, Speed was out there early. The Speed duel that went on early between the five horses that went out there, minus Rodriguez, who had scratched, was just about how we drew it up. I mean, it was exactly the way that I thought it would go. The five horses that were contending up there, the pace was fast. It wasn't record-breaking fast, probably a little bit having to do with the mud, also a little bit to do with Rodriguez not being in there. So did that hurt our chances? No, I think it kept the race pretty honest. It was a pretty honestly run race. Chunk of Gold, not as good as we had thought. Tiztastic, about where I would have expected. Luxor Cafe, the two Japanese horses, Luxor Cafe and Meyer Daytona, they just weren't cut out. They just weren't battle-tested enough, and the surface just wasn't theirs. It just wasn't going to work. Neo Equus was going to burn up. Publisher's just too immature. Citizen Bull was going to burn up. We told you that. American Promise, he was a wise guy horse late. A lot of people liked him and Chunk of Gold, but just didn't have it for me. Render Judgment, Flying Mohawk, we knew they had no prayer. Meyer Daytona finished last. But pretty much the race, if we were to draw the race up and I was the guest finishing positions, I think we would have done very, very good. So hopefully you cashed in. On to the Preak this week go here in a couple of weeks. But Sovereignty will not run there, and I've heard a lot of criticism today on the radio and amongst circles of people that I talk to, and I gotta say it's not really fair. Some of these horses are not conditioned to come back in 2 weeks, and I give these guys credit for doing what people would say you shouldn't do and skip this race. If anybody cares about the equine athletes, then they understand why. The horse clipped heels a little bit. Nah, I don't think that really has much to do with it. It's more Bill Mott 2 weeks. It's just not going to happen. I mean, Bill Mott's probably ran 50 horses in his career back in 14 days rest at probably the behest of the owners. The owners maybe forced his hand, and he had no choice in the matter. But he's only won like one time. So it's just not the way that they do it. And Godolphin, same thing. Sometimes they have horses they can run back quickly on turf, but on dirt, it takes so much out of these animals. I'm not saying that I don't wish that he would run, but I understand why, and I don't think it's a fair criticism, and I don't think people really know horse racing who say that. I've heard a lot of people bashing the sport because of this, like, oh, the only races people care about, and the horse isn't even going well. First of all, the horse has people looking out for it, and this horse is now worth even more money than he was already worth. So you got to understand there's financial ramifications here. You have a Kentucky Derby winning sire ready to stand right now. If he retired tonight, he would be a Kentucky Derby winning sire, and people will pay for his services. Well, you don't want to jeopardize that. You can't. You just don't do it. And Bill Mott, such a conservative guy, a guy who slow walks his horses. And that's why Sovereignty won that race. It's because Bill Mott didn't rush him. Bill Mott didn't care that he didn't win the Florida Derby. He was saying, I don't need to worry about this. And that's now 2 years in a row where Mystic Dan wasn't cranked up for his Arkansas Derby, and Sovereignty wasn't cranked up for his Florida Derby, because their trainers, Kenny McPeak and Bill Mott, knew all I need to do is run in the top three here, and my horse on talent alone is probably going to be able to do that. So I'm not going to have this horse at the absolute maximum capacity for this race, because he's already going to get in the Derby. I will have him ramped up for the day of the Derby, and both those guys did it perfectly. Got great rides and very, very successful. So on to Pimlico we go here in a couple of weeks. And BLS_PRP is where you're going to want to be. I'll be out of town next week, late next week, so I'll probably be able to call in to the show and talk to the Pine Room guys on Friday and go through what I like, my final plays and such. But check out BLS_PRP. That's where I'll have everything posted. Hockey playoffs. Jeez, these collapses, I had these under bad beats, but if you had the Colorado Avalanche or the St. Louis Blues in the Game 7s like I did, you're probably disgusted with yourself. Now, the overs are cashing in these games very, very at a very high percentage, but man, talk about just terrible losses. Both the Stars and the Jets come back, trailing by 2 goals late. At one point, you had, I think Winnipeg was 17-1. To win that game. Scores with 1.6 or something like that to go to tie it and then win in double OT against St. Louis. And then Colorado with some just inexplicable defending lapses and end up losing a game to Dallas in Game 7, a game they had total control of. And really, to me, if you look at this St. Louis's situation, I wouldn't necessarily blame on a coaching, but a little bit Colorado's. I thought they did a very poor job of locking that game down at the end, and Bednar should be ashamed of himself for blowing that. But, hey, Colorado continues to squander their window of winning. They have not done as much winning as people think that they have. So NHL playoffs, though, in full swing. Carolina comes back, beats Washington in OT the other night. Toronto out to an early lead against Florida, but I don't expect that to last. I think Toronto will be what Toronto always is and choke it away. But in the other side of things, you have Dallas and Winnipeg. That should be a very interesting matchup. And then Vegas and Edmonton, and Edmonton already wins game one there. So lots still to play for. I still think Vegas, the Golden Knights, are going to be the team coming out of the West, if I was going to guess. And I still think that either the Washington Caps or the Florida Panthers will come out of the East. But we shall see. I'll have some more hockey plays at BLS_PRP. Flip it over to NBA. Oh, actually, one more thing on hockey. Favorites now 31-18 in the NHL playoffs so far. And the overs are now 30-19 in the NHL playoffs. NBA-wise, lots of upsets so far in round two. Not one of the home teams have won a game yet. Dogs 5-0, ATS 5-0 straight up. The Knicks cashing it at +310, Denver at +360. Indiana cashed it +$2 or more two games already as they lead the Cavs now. Two games to none, and Golden State at a $2 price cashes the other night as well. So some surprises there in the NBA playoffs, but it wouldn't surprise me if the other teams come right back and win on the teams that beat them on their home court. They go win at their home court. So I wouldn't count any of that out, but it's going to be a long battle for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Dogs now 25-22. How about that? ATS favorites 30-18 straight up. Overs 24-22-2 in the NBA playoffs thus far. Major League Baseball, things really starting to settle in as far as who are legit teams, who are fringe teams, and who are garbage teams. And you have a lot of garbage. And right now, the way that people are building these money line parlays on a daily basis, the books, we need one of the big favorites to lose just about every day to knock these parlays out. Because when you're getting the Dodgers and the Rockies, and the Dodgers and the Marlins, the Padres and the Pirates, the Braves and the Rockies, these are just, they're so lopsided, the teams, one to the other. You have some really, really bad teams in Colorado and the Angels and the Pirates who are just so bad. The Marlins, the Marlins battle, but they're not any good. Colorado's horrendous. The White Sox are not very good. You have teams that are worth fading, and people are putting these on the run lines and just blasting them on a nightly basis and even putting the money line parlays together. But my recommendation is to you, if you're trying to fade these teams, which I am fine with you doing, but do you want to lay 320 with the Dodgers against the Marlins today? I didn't want to do that. So you go in and you find other markets that will get you to the same area that you're wanting to go. You give, you go against the opposing starting pitcher, over 2.5 earned runs against Vic Belazzo today or whatever. However you want to do it, there's ways to build your ticket without having to lay $3 with these teams. I don't even the run lines for the Dodgers now. You're going -1.5, -175 like that. That doesn't interest me. So I'll go Dodgers team totals. Look for those. Look for the earned runs against the other pitcher. They can jump on them a little bit early. So there's different ways to play these games. The team run totals, a very, very good way. A lot of times, if you think a team's just going to bury somebody and you don't want to lay $3, play their runs over 4.5. They'll score 5 runs most of the time, and you'll cash the winning ticket. So plenty more baseball down the road here on Bettors Last Stand, but really starting to stick out. And if you start going through these divisions, you have teams who are legitimately good. You have teams that are pretty good but have deficiencies. So you got to try to find them. Still, the National League West is standalone the best division in baseball right now, without a doubt. You have the Dodgers, of course. No need to even explain what they have. You have the San Diego Padres, who are an exceptional team, and they're missing a lot of pieces, too. They got some injuries. So great bullpen, loaded team. Really, really good. San Francisco Giants, very, very good team. Arizona Diamondbacks, man, they can hit if their pitching stabilizes a little bit. They're going to be contenders all the way through and be a playoff team. You go over to the Central Division, and it's pretty much trash. You get the Cubs, who are the best of the garbage. A little disappointed in the Reds. They're very much like the Orioles. They're so inconsistent. 10 runs one night, zero the next. Pitching's got to get better. But Tito Francona in the long haul will have the Reds decent. I still think they'll have a shot of making the playoffs. Rest of the teams in the Central Division and National League are terrible. The East, Braves starting to come back up. Phillies have not been very good. Their bullpen's a problem. Their bullpen's a problem for the Phillies. The Mets, pretty good. Still not enamored with their ability to score runs in the back end of their bullpen, but still pretty good. You flip over to the American League. You got the AL West. You just don't know what to think. The Mariners were our pick. They're playing very well right now. Starting to hit a little bit. Pitching is there. I think they're the team to beat in that division. Rangers fired their hitting coach. Sputtering a little bit, but still good. Astros are the Astros. They develop young players, and they'll continue to get better. They're not falling off like people think they will. So Astros, not without a chance. Go over to the Central. Tigers are the best team in that division right now. May have missed a little bit on them. I didn't expect them. They still can't hit very well, so that's going to be a problem. Their pitching is top of the line. Kansas City's got to pick it up. They can't hit. Cleveland can't hit. Minnesota's horrible. So you have a lot of issues there. And then you go to the AL East, where, to me, without question, the Boston Red Sox are the best team. They have not played the best baseball yet. Very inconsistent. Bullpen's been an issue. Starting pitching, they get Bayo back. That's very, very helpful. But Houck's been awful prior to his last start. But this lineup gets going. When it starts to warm up a little bit up in New England in June, this is going to be a team that's going to catapult itself up in the top of that division. I feel very, very confident in that. New York Yankees, they have a lot of holes. They just don't have it. The lineup is not anywhere near as good as it was last year. Maybe if they get Stanton back, they'll be a little bit better. But Judge can't do it all. I don't find anybody else in that lineup who's dangerous at all. Starting pitching's iffy. Bullpen's a mess. I have no faith in them. Baltimore, as I told you, very big concern to me was their pitching. Their inconsistency to plate is a massive problem. They're like the Reds, 10 runs one night, zero the next. You just can't have that. Toronto, back to earth. They're just okay. Tampa's no good at all. So that's my baseball rundown as of now. We'll talk plenty more baseball in the coming days here on Better's Last Stand as we roll on here. Show number 131 here on the Watchdog Network, getting you ready for another action-packed weekend. Truist Championship Golf. It's underway already. At least not when I'm recording the show, it's not. But when you're listening to this, it will be underway. Going through the Philadelphia Cricket Club. Yeah, how about that? Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Truist Championship. This used to be called the Wells Fargo. Rory McIlroy is the favorite here. Last week, Scottie Scheffler just ran away and embarrassed the field playing, might as well have been Wheeling Park or Crispin. Actually, Crispin would have played harder than that course last week. Just terrible. I hate golf tournaments like that. So let's hope this is a little bit better. Got some bigger names, a little bit better field. Couple guys stood out to me. Colin Morikawa, about 14-1. He was 14th here last year. Xander Schauffele's game starting to come back right around the time of the PGA and the U.S. Open. So keep Xander on your radar. He's at 15-1. So we're going to use Morikawa and Xander Schauffele. We're also going to use Sung Jae-im. He was tied for fourth here last year. He's been picking up some progress. Last year, he had a real big problem with he either finished top 10 or he missed the cut. Well, he's stabilizing a little bit. Even if he's not playing his very best, he's hanging on. He's making cuts. He's finishing in top 30. So I like where Im's game is starting to get. So we'll take a shot with him. About 45-1 he can find on Sung Jae-im. Daniel Berger back to the well with him. Still playing good golf. He's going to bust out one of these days. Birdies are going to start going in for him. He's going to win one of these. Aaron Rye has had a good season as well. You find him about 65-1, so we'll be on Aaron Rye. Keegan Bradley taking a lot of steam. He was T21 here last year, 45-1 on him. Saw a lot of people giving him out as a dark horse, like Keegan Bradley's game currently. And then Ben On. He was not good for us last week, but we're going to go back to the well with Ben On. He was third here last year at about, you can find him, I've seen anywhere between 56-60-1 on Ben On. So jump on those. Again, BLS_PRP. You can find these every Wednesday. I'll have them posted for Thursday's round of golf. So if you want golf plays, jump on there. We have had some winners this year in golf. We've had a lot of seconds, though, too. Moving over to UFL football. I didn't give any picks the last couple of weeks because I'm still trying to figure this out. It was unders, unders, unders. We felt really good about that early. Well, the overs are starting to come alive now. The offenses are getting better. The quarterback plays better. I actually watched two of these games, a very good portion of two of these games that I had last week. And they're definitely the big splash plays are coming at a little bit more of a premium now. So, DC Defenders and San Antonio Brahmas. San Antonio Brahmas, very, very, very inept on offense. They're catching 6.5 at home against DC. The total is 36. DC gave up 18, I think, to San Antonio the last time. I don't think that'll happen again. I'm going to lay the 6.5 with DC and going to play under 36. Right now, San Antonio's offense is so poor. I think this game turns out to be something like 27-6, maybe, something like that. I think it holds on to the under, and I think DC cruises. Michigan in Arlington, it'll be Michigan -1 on the road, total 43.5. No real opinion here. I thought Michigan as a team has gotten a lot better. Not bad. Tricky spot here for them against Arlington, 43.5. I'm leaning to the over on this game, but I don't love it. I think Arlington's offense is so-so. Michigan's has improved quite a bit. They are the top scoring team in the league right now. And I will say, Bryce Perkins, the quarterback, I believe he played at Virginia. He has 8 TD passes, leading the entire league. And he's got 2 good wide receivers. So take a look at Michigan, maybe. I might lay the points with Michigan there and potentially an over against Arlington. But I haven't finalized that one. I'll have these at BLS_PRP once I figure out exactly what I'm going to end up doing for sure. Houston at Birmingham, the Houston Roughnecks, Birmingham Stallions, Birmingham -6 at home, the total 39 in this game. And, well, I think both these teams are about even. I don't think either one of them is very good, so I really didn't have a strong opinion on the side, but I did like the over 39. I think there'll be some points here. I think you'll get up into the high 40s between Houston and Birmingham. St. Louis, the Battlehawks at the Memphis Showboats. It'll be St. Louis -4 on the road. They're 4-2. Memphis just 1-5. Total is 39. I'm going with St. Louis here. I like them. They seem like a very good all-around team, and I think the Battlehawks will get the job done. Back to D.C., their quarterback, Jordan Te'amo, he leads the league with 11 touchdown passes. I think I said Bryce Perkins, but Bryce Perkins has 8. Te'amo has 11, and he's got a very good top wide receiver named Chris Rowland, who's played pretty good from what I've seen. So D.C., Michigan looking like pretty strong teams. I think St. Louis as well. San Antonio right now is fade until further notice. They're averaging just 11 points a game, giving up over 26 points per game. So that's our UFL rundown for this week here on Bettors Last Stand. So best of luck in those wagers. Some industry news going on right now. You got 5 current Iowa State football support staff members. They spent $6,200 worth of online bets. That's 62. I'm wrong when I read that. 6,200 online bets played. Not that's like bet, like each wager. They wagered 6,200 different bets online worth over $100,000 in total on pro and college games. Some of them including men's and women's basketball from Iowa State. So that obviously drawing quite a bit of criticism and investigations, and we'll see how that all shakes out. So again, people not using their brains. And now I will say, in one capacity, the fact that they bet on pro games and stuff to me is not even a story. Like, you should be able to do that. If you're in Ames, Iowa, and you want to bet on the Cavaliers and Pacers game, why wouldn't you be able to do that? If you're legal age, why would you not be able to do that? What kind of influence could you possibly have in that? What kind of influence could you have in the Dallas Stars and the Colorado Avalanche? Like, what could you have? I don't. So to me, I always thought that was ridiculous, and I think it's really, really rich that the NCAA would enforce rules like that when they let players take millions of dollars in cash and just take it up and leave and go to the next school and take money from them too. So to me, it's not right. Should you be betting on your own school? Then now you're in some gray area there. Do you have inside information and that kind of stuff? But as far as just wagering in general, I don't see any problem with it. But when you're wagering on your own school sports teams, maybe you do have some inside scoop, and maybe you could potentially be in a spot where you could compromise something. Okay, I get that. That's probably not a good idea. But again, stupid people. All right, more technology being introduced to make app betting even easier. This is fantastic. Genius Sports has announced a new product which will allow bettors to literally touch players on a screen. So if I'm watching this game today and I want Osimo Dembele from PSG and I want him to score the next goal, I can just click on him on the screen that I'm watching the game on, and it brings up Dembele's odds for whatever prop in play prop that you want to play with him involved in it. It is fantastic. I saw a couple demos of it. It is really, really cool stuff. You can literally touch on players during live events. They have a stat tracker version of it, and then the live video feed of it. It is really, really cool. It's called BetVision, so be looking for that. I'm sure some places are going to be buying up that technology as it comes along, just making things. I mean, pretty soon I got Michael Conforto at the plate here for the Dodgers right now. I can click this little remote and boom, bet on Michael Conforto to get a hit. That's coming next. That's the next step that we're going to take, and I think it's great. Sport Trade has become the first company overseen by state gaming regulators to request a CFTC. That is the Commodity Future Trading Commission. And so what they're trying to do is to try to get approved to be able to even take their platform to even a more advanced level. I mean, they're going to try to go nationwide with this. Sport Trade is currently only regulated, the only regulated prediction market app for sports betting. So basically, you're like buying commodities. This is like stock trading for sports. So you can buy and sell. And it's fascinating. So if you have a future ticket on the Indiana Pacers right now and it's going through the roof, it's like you bought plutonium stocks before someone discovered it, or steel, or whatever widget you want to insert. You bought it ahead of the curve. It takes a massive spike up. You can sell. You can hold. There's a lot of cool things to be done here. People are very critical of this, but I think it's very, very good. It's basically treating sports betting like the stock market. So it's not a sports book. It's a regulated marketplace, and it gives investors easy access to wager, track their bets, and sell their bets like stocks. So really cool stuff. So Sport Trade, keep an eye on that, and also keep an eye on BetVision from Genius Sports. Some really good stuff going there. Dallas and Pittsburgh strike a big deal today. This is the big news of the day. George Pickens is now a Cowboy. My condolences to you Cowboy fans out there. You got to deal with them. Steelers, you better get a number two wideout. You saw what that was like last year. So that could still be a problem for you. So those are the big things going on. Bad beats I only just had in those hockeys. I mean, if you had the teams leading by two goals late, you just have to be sick. I mean, how can you possibly lose those games? It's one thing for one of the teams to blow it, and then the night later, the next team does it. So crazy stuff there in the NHL, but that's what makes the NHL playoffs so darn good. All right, let's get into racing here on Bettors Last Stand Show number 131. Coming to you here on the Watchdog Network from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling, getting you ready post-Kentucky Derby. No big horse racing this week, but we'll be at Pimlico a week from Saturday, and we'll get all those picks for you, BLS_PRP. Hopefully we can continue to take the money that we won at the Derby and roll it over into the Preakness. Let's go to F1 first. They are off this week, but they were in Miami, where Oscar Piastri continues to dominate. He's now on a hot streak like no other. He's won three in a row, but we told you first here on this show way back before the season started that he was going to be the number one McLaren. It was just a matter of time, and here he comes. So hopefully you bet him to win the championship way back, because if you did, you got a really good price on him right now, because he was the third choice behind his teammate Lando Norris and Max Verstappen. Max Verstappen, who we had last week, he led 13 laps, got overtaken, just didn't have the car to hold up. So McLaren runs 1-2 with Piastri and Norris. George Russell and Kimi Antonelli both in the top six. So they cash bets for us for the double Mercedes and Antonelli to be in the top six. Very impressed with the Mercedes cars. They ran very well. Verstappen, I mean, he drove the wheels off that thing, but he just couldn't hold it together. Williams, another good run for them. Carlos Sainz in the top 10, and Alex Albon actually finishes in the top 5. So poor performance out of Ferrari. Charles Leclerc and Lewis Hamilton, they had absolutely nothing at Miami, so a little bit of a disappointment there. F1 boys are off to the Emilia-Romagna in Italy in a couple of weeks. That'll be on May 18th. So they go back across the pond to Europe. Lando Norris is now the second choice behind Oscar Piastri. Piastri becoming the favorite every week. Max Verstappen at +550. I'll post picks for this race next week once we start seeing qualifying and such. And again, I will be out of town next week, so there will be no Bettors Last Stand program coming your way. But you can follow us on BLS_PRP, and I'll be checking in with the Pine Room guys throughout the week on the Pine Room on the Watchdog show on Tuesday and Friday from noon till 3. And be giving them any bits of betting information as well as picks on the Preakness. All right, Alex Palou. This guy's just absolutely red hot right now. He can't be stopped. He gets the job done at the Alabama Indy Grand Prix. Beats out Lundgaard, McLaughlin, Rinus Vicas. A good run in Will Power in the top five. Kyle Kirkwood finishes 11th. And boy, I will say Marcus Ericsson continues to struggle. We took a shot with him last week. It did not work out. Well, we head to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Grand Prix circuit, so the road course. And guess who won there last year? Oh, Alex Palou. He led 39 laps. Christian Lundgaard led 35 and finished third. Will Power was second. So there was no odds that I could find on this race at the time. So when I get ready to record the show. So I got to take a rain check on this. So BLS underscore PRP is where you want to be. I think Scott Dixon might be worth a little bit of a peek here this week. And Colton Herta interested me a little bit, as well as Christian Lundgaard. I want to see what his long-term numbers look like at the Indianapolis Grand Prix circuit. So exciting times. They're at the Brickyard for the next couple of weeks. So that should be good racing. And I will have my IndyCar picks up for this weekend on BLS underscore PRP. Let's switch over to the stock cars. It's the Advent Health 400 from Kansas Motor Speedway this week. But let's recap the Worth 400. Out at Fort Worth, Texas, Joey Logano. He only leads seven laps, and he makes Lola here at the Watchdog very, very happy as he gets into victory lane. Gets the job done for Team Penske. Ross Chastain second, Ryan Blaney third, Kyle Larson fourth, and Eric Jones with a strong run in fifth position. Now, we had a couple of guys that ran decently there. Daniel Suarez with a big price. He was in the top 10, and Austin Dillon also at a big price, and he finished seventh. So not bad. We had a couple decent opinions here. Austin Cindric, who was a hot play, led a lot of the time. Caution sequence really messed up him. Carson Hochevar, Michael McDowell, all running up front. Josh Berry had a problem. But I will say this. The tires that Goodyear brought to that race were a disgrace. So many guys busting their tires. Denny Hamlin's car caught on fire. You had Bowman with tire problems. Gregson with tire problems. Berry with tire problems. Keselowski with tire problems. Briscoe with tire problems. I mean, it's just the list just goes on and on and on for guys who had good cars in the Goodyears just kept blowing out. Rear tires just blowing out, shredding, catching on fire. The guys are all alone on the track and they're blowing tires. It's really disappointing when you see a race impacted like that, because this would have not been the finishing order had a lot of those guys not crashed out of the race with blown tires and getting, whether they get lapped or they destroyed their car completely. Denny Hamlin was done 73 laps in, so they ran 200 more laps after that. So Joey Logano, great performance by him. Ross Chastain starting to come on. Ryan Blaney, Mr. Consistent. Kyle Larson, solid run. On and on and on. You had some good guys. You had some guys do a very nice job with their teams, take advantage of track position and so forth. But he also had a very poor showing out of Goodyear. So we go to Kansas next. And whenever I think about Kansas, I always just think about a Hendrick car leading at Kansas. I don't know why. It's just like burned into my mind that the Hendrick cars always do well here. And looking back through the data, they do well, but they don't do as well as I probably thought. So right now, the favorite for this week's race looks to be Kyle Larson at plus 350, obviously a Hendrick car. So that I can get behind a little bit, but that's way too short of a price. You got William Byron at 8-1. And then you drift up to a guy like Chase Elliott, also with the same equipment as Larson and Byron. He's 17-1. I like Chase Elliott. He's won here before. He's ran well here before. I think this is about the time when Chase Elliott gets in a groove. And between this and the Coca-Cola 600, I think you will see him in victory lane. We're going to take a shot with him this week at 17-1. Also, like Ross Chastain, he finished second last week, and he's had some very good runs here, including a win in this race last fall. So Ross Chastain at 22-1. Definitely worth a play. Another Hendrick car that I'm going to be on, Alex Bowman. He's run very, very well here, 14.7 average finish, and he's led a lot of laps here. 23-1 for Bowman. We'll be going with him. Chris Buescher, been a little quiet lately. He's kind of him. All the RFK cars have been a little bit down the last few weeks. Keselowski's been awful. Priest has had some bad luck, and Buescher as well has had some bad luck. So we'll get with Buescher, 23-1 on him. I think he's going to be in the mix. Brad Keselowski, I thought about a little nibble with him. He's got two wins here. He's 40-1, 12.5 average finish, but I can't take a shot with that. Chris Bell, one of the guys at the lower price that I will take a shot with this week, 10-1 on him. I actually saw a couple 12-1s out there too, so hurry up and get those if you can. Chris Bell, 10-1, 13.4 average finish, had some good performances here, led some laps, had some bad luck, so look for Chris Bell to run very, very strong. And then Ty Gibbs, also another guy, had some very good performances at Kansas in a little bit of bad luck, so his 20-1-1 price is definitely worth a shot. So Chris Bell, Ty Gibbs, Alex Bowman, Chris Buescher, Ross Chastain, and Chase Elliott are our plays here for Bettors Last Stand in the Advent Health 400 at Kansas. Denny Hamlin, you get him at 8-1, bouncing back after a bad run with four wins here. Might be worth a shot. Logano's won here several times. He won last week. Can he repeat? 22-1. That's a little tricky. Ryan Blaney, too short of a price. 6-1 on him. Very consistent play. If you want like just consistency, you can find Ryan Blaney to get top 10. Sometimes you'll find him a little bit over a dollar, like $1.20, $1.15. That's pretty good because unless he has serious equipment malfunctions, he's usually in the top 10. So that will be the NASCAR boys at the Advent Health 400 on Sunday from Kansas Motor Speedway. Pope news. We got conclave going on right now. The black smoke was pouring out the chimney at last look. So where are we right now in this Pope election? It's day number one. Actually, by the time you listen to this, it'll be at least day two, maybe day three. Luis Antonio Tagle, Pietro Parolin, co-favorites right now in most books across the world. And they are about plus 150. Peter Turkson, 4-1. Matteo Zuppi, 5-1. Pierre Pizzabella, 5-1. Robert Serra and Peter Erdo, both coming in at 8-1. I do think this is going to be a little bit of a surprise. I think he could have an under-the-radar type guy. Robert Serra from Guinea could be the guy right now. He could be the guy. He's a more conservative guy. He's from Guinea. He would break a color barrier that we've never seen before from a Pope. So I think it checks a lot of boxes there for Robert Serra. And we'll see. I mean, Angelo Scolo, the Italian, he's also a conservative. I think he has a shot. Peter Erdo of Hungary. Right now, of the top guys that I mentioned, I think Robert Serra and Peter Erdo would be the most likely guys to be chosen. But I do think it's going to be a conservative Pope. I just think there's going to be a massive pushback with the previous Pope, Pope Francis, pushing the papacy way to the left in really infuriating a lot of people in the church and a lot of people at the cardinal level. So you've had a lot of them speak out saying, no, we've got to push this back to being the historic way of the Pope. Obviously, you don't want it back to the very, very ancient times when the popes were maybe not the greatest guys. There's a lot of information he can find about that. He can read into it. This is a sports show. We won't get negative, but that was, their popes have been at the hands, some seriously bad stuff way, way back in ancient times. That's not the case these days. Mark Ouellette was one of my guys that I was looking a little bit interested in to maybe make a bet on. 5-1 is where he is, but he's drifted up quite a bit. He's the Archbishop out of Quebec. Pietro Parolin, though, and Luis Antonio Tagle, both of those guys are kind of liberal, so I don't think either one of them. I would fade the favorites here. I think if you were going to see one of those guys have won, I think you would have saw white smoke very, very early. But you're seeing black smoke. I think this is going to go for quite a while. So I think bet the over. I said that last few weeks, over 4.5 rounds. I think you could have got 4.5 minus 420. It went up to minus $5. I think people were starting to read what I'm reading and saying this is going to take a long time. I'm not talking 7 years, but I'm thinking it's going to take quite a long time. Will the next Pope be of African descent? How about this? Yes, 4-1. I think that one's got a shot. I think Robert Serra out of Guinea has a really decent chance here. He checks all the boxes, so to speak, and he could be the guy. So after how many conclave ballots were there? Be 1-2 was 9-1. No chance of that. 3-4, 250. Wouldn't bet that. 5-6, $2. I'm thinking at least 7-8, but it would not surprise me if more than 10 cash at 8-1. That'd be about 5 days worth of conclave, and I think that's very realistic. So maybe a little nibble on that, or as you go into the weekend, if you can find a place that'll take this kind of action, you maybe want to get on it. Which date will the next Pope be elected? And you got May 13th, maybe? I don't know. That's, you can find that 10-1 on that. May 12th at 12-1. May 11th at 6-1. That's kind of a shot in the dark. I don't really know how you can how you can find that one out. I will say this one interested me a little bit. Nationality of the next pope. Even money on Italy. So that would lead you to believe that Pietro Parolin was going to be the guy, or Angelo Dos Santos, which he is a conservative, so he could check the box for me. Angelo Scola at 8-1. So I see why Italy is the favorite there. A country that's never had a pope, that would be Robert Sarah of Guinea. So he could cash that one. I also believe Canada's never had that. Germany at 7-1. You got Poland at 12-1. And you got Argentina again at 25-1. It's not going to be Argentina again. I think you'll see either someone from North America, Africa, or Europe will be my thoughts here. That's really not going on a limb there. That's just using data and maybe making an educated guess. But we'll see. We'll talk more Pope throughout the coming days. As the longer the conclave goes, the more interesting it shall be. So we'll keep an eye out for white smoke. But very fun stuff to track. And, you can always make a little bit of money off of this stuff if you get your information and are quick to the punch. All right, let's talk some AFL football here on Bettors Last Stand Show number 131 here on the Watchdog Network, getting you ready for another exciting weekend. You got NBA playoffs, you got NHL playoffs, you got baseball, you got golf, you got NASCAR, you got IndyCar racing. Well, of course, you got soccer and you got AFL. That's what I'll be concentrating on. BLS_PRP, follow us for all the picks. Check out at the Pine Room Studios. Lunch Madness winding down. We're into the Final Four, if you can believe that already. Buckeye Trail and Wheeling Central in one portion of the bracket. And then you have Toronto and John Marshall, last year's runner-up, in the other part of the bracket. You can check us out Tuesdays and Fridays on the Watchdog Network, right here on the Watchdog Network, or on thewatchdognetwork.com. Find out who is going to be the Lunch Madness champion here in 2025. Follow us at the Pine Room Studios. You can listen to this show anywhere you hear your podcast or get your podcast: Spotify, Amazon, Apple, so on and so forth. You can check out our YouTube page. You can check out PineRoomStudios.com. Also, check out WatchdogNetwork.com and WatchdogWV on social media for all your latest Watchdog material. All right, let's get into it. AFL round number, what are we in? Round number eight. Round number eight. Hard to believe it's here already. We got a game on Thursday, Collingwood and Fremantle. Now, this one probably won't make it by the time you listen to this. It'll probably have already been played, so we'll have it up, BLS_PRP. I went with Collingwood and the over in that game. Friday, a 5:40 a.m. So if you're hearing this Thursday night, you got this match. 5:40 a.m. on Friday morning. It's St. Kilda at home against the Carlton Blues. Carlton -7.5 on the road. Carlton comes in 3-5. St. Kilda 4-4. The last three between these two teams have stayed under the total, but I'm going against it. As I continue to say, St. Kilda's numbers are a little skewed. They were an under team for the last three seasons. Well, they're kind of an over team now. They're scoring a little bit. Their defense is not as good. Carlton, I am not impressed with this team at all. They got three wins. They're favoring on the road here. I don't trust them. I like St. Kilda. I think St. Kilda wins the game, and I like the game over 165.5. Friday night, 11:20 p.m. Eastern. It's the Hawthorne Hawks at the Melbourne Demons. Hawthorne -23.5. The total 170.5 in this one. Melbourne, yeah, they won three in a row. We've had them two out of the three times. They barely won the game last week against West Coast. Now, that's a team that is so bad. Now, they ended up covering. If you played an in-play, that was smart. They were way down at halftime. You knew they were going to come back and probably win the game, but a very poor performance. Melbourne has beaten three very lousy teams. This is not a lousy team in Hawthorne. The last three between these two have stayed under. I think Hawthorne crushes Melbourne here. I think the game stays under 170.5, and I like Hawthorne, the Hawks, -23.5 on the road. The Sydney Swans at the Essendon Bombers. This one, 2:15 a.m. Eastern on Saturday morning or late Friday night, however you want to look at that. Sydney -8.5 on the road. Total 172.5. Two of the last three between these two have went over the total. I'm going to go under here. I don't like Essendon's offense. They're 4-3. Sydney's a team that I think is a little bit better than their 3-5 record. I think they can score a little bit, but they're not as good as they were offensively last year. So that's why I'm going to play this game under the 172.5, and we're going to go with the Swans -8.5 on the road. Saturday morning, 5:30 a.m., it's the Western Bulldogs playing some good football right now. They've won their last three at the Gold Coast Suns. It'll be Western -1.5. The total 178.5. Western averaging 123 points a game in their last three outings. Man, Gold Coast, they've had two games at home so far. Both of them have been over. So we are on the over here. 178.5. I think these teams score quite a bit. You can even see a game where both these teams are well into the 90s, maybe even a 200-point game here, maybe 100, at least 100 apiece. I'm leaning Gold Coast here, but I just keep waiting for Western to have a little chink in the armor, but they've righted the ship pretty after a little bit of a rocky start. They've played pretty well. Gold Coast, I don't quite believe in them that much yet to go full out on them, but I might lean Gold Coast in this one. They battled Brisbane pretty hard last week in an under. We cashed both sides of that one with the Lions in the under. But the Suns, to me, this is a better matchup for them than Brisbane was. So I think they'll score a little bit. Take a shot with the Suns, but definitely on the over in that one. Adelaide at Port Adelaide, a battle of Adelaide. And Port Adelaide was absolutely humiliated last week. They now catch 7.5 against their fierce rivals, the Adelaide Crows. The total, 176.5. Two of the last three have been unders in this tie. And, man, after humiliation last week against Western, I'm stunned. I couldn't believe that score, Port Adelaide. I couldn't believe it. And I went through the roster and I looked. Did I miss something? Did somebody not play? Well, yeah, they had a couple guys out, but nothing that was standing out. Like, why? Why was this such a bad performance? The only thing I can say is maybe they were overlooking them and they were ready for the Crows. So I'm going to take a shot with Port Adelaide, but after last week, it's hard to trust them. We'll take them plus a 7.5. We'll go under 176.5 in a really contentious rivalry game in Adelaide. I think it's a low-scoring game. Both teams are going to want this one badly. West Coast at Richmond. Richmond minus 11.5, the total 172.5. Now, I don't often give out 10 stars. I don't often say I think this is a 10-star play. A lot of people give those out like candy corn, and I don't do that. So it's with a little bit of haste that I do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. 11:10 p.m. on Saturday night. It's the Richmond Tigers. They're 2-6 on the year against the lowly West Coast Eagles. Now, lowly West Coast played a strong first half against Melbourne last week, but the Richmond Tigers at home have proven they can beat good teams, and they're at home here, and they're only laying 11.5 points. And Richmond has been a good cover team for us this year, especially at home. I think they're absolutely going to massacre West Coast here. I love Richmond in this game. I'm making it a 10-star in the AFL. Do with that what you please. But, yeah, I'm on the Richmond Tigers heavy here, minus the 11.5. 172.5 will go over as well. I think Richmond will score about 130 points in this game and massacre West Coast, who was lucky to be staying in a game against a very, very, very subpar Melbourne Demon team. GWS at Geelong. That's the next game, 1:20 a.m. on Sunday morning, late Saturday night. It'll be Geelong Cats, minus 15.5, total 174.5. Huge win for Geelong last week against Collingwood. What a game that was. If you saw that game, wow. I mean, two really good teams. We had Geelong in that game. And, man, I thought at one point I was a little worried they were going to let it get away, and then they come back and win the game. I mean, what an incredible intensity in the last, 10 minutes of that game. Fantastic watch if you didn't see that one. But can they bounce back here? GWS, they've lost three straight. They've been a team that have worried me all along. The last three between these two have went under the total. So we're going to go under here, 174.5. I think Geelong probably wins this game, but I don't love laying 15.5 with them. So I'm going to pass on the side and just play the under in Geelong and GWS. Brisbane at North Melbourne. It'll be Brisbane, minus 34.5, total 175.5. Could be a little of a letdown spot here for the Brisbane Lions. They played a great game last week against Gold Coast. Playing great right now. They're 7-1. They go against the 1-7 Melbourne Kangaroos, who are a team that is improving. We know that. They're in games a lot more now. They can score some points. They just got to get better on defense. I don't think that's going to happen today. Two of the last three overs between these two. I like over 175.5 here. Small lean to Brisbane, but laying 34.5 on the road against a team that's going to be giving a very good effort, I probably would pass on that. So that's our AFL plays this week. For Bettors Last Stand show number 131 here with you on the Watchdog Network. Couple more minutes to go, and it's soccer time. EPL going on right now. You got the Champions League final set. Now Inter Milan and PSG will be battling in, I believe it's in Munich this year. So I think it's in Germany here in a couple of weeks in June for the Champions League title. It's been a great Champions League season again. It never disappoints. I got to say, most of the time, I am a very traditional person in most of my sports. Like, I want things to stay the same. But few things that they get right from time to time. The baseball pitch clock's definitely one of those. And this massive group table in Champions League, I thought it was great. I thought you saw great matchups. better competition because you got teams fighting for placings, not just going in a group where, you know, two of the teams are weak and they're worried about their domestic schedule and you can just coast through. This required everybody's best efforts pretty much from start to finish. So I give a massive thumbs up to UEFA, who doesn't get a whole lot right, but they did a great job. But the Champions League final is set, so we'll keep an eye on that. We'll have plays on that match for sure here in the coming weeks. Again, Inter Milan will be taking on PSG, Paris Saint-Germain. So you got Italy and France doing battle there. We're going to focus on the Premier League of English soccer. It is down to the last few games here. And you got the relegations pretty much. That's, well, not pretty much. It is settled. The teams that are going down are going down. The teams who won in the league win the league. Liverpool won it. Arsenal's going to be second. And then you got the European places up here. So who is going to be motivated? All right. So first match, Saturday morning, you got Wolves and Brighton. Brighton minus 145. Wolves plus 180. I like both teams to score in this match. I think that Brighton is a team that usually he's always good for at least a goal. Wolves has played pretty good football. We'll say over the last couple of months, they've been pretty solid. So we're going to go both teams to score in that match, and we're going to go over the total. Wolves and Brighton, the last three out of four of their matches have went over. Brighton has won three out of four at Wolves. So maybe a little bit of a lean to Brighton in this matchup. So if you like the Seagulls, go ahead and add them. But I'm going with the both teams to score and the over in Brighton and Wolves. Fulham and Everton. Everton will be a plus 325 dog against Fulham. Fulham minus 118. This game at Craven Cottage. You can see why Fulham's favored. That's their home ground. Everton has maybe hit a little bit of a wall, but they're still well managed. I think that price is a little high. I would lean, if I was going to take a side here, which I'm not, I would lean Everton or draw there. And I do like this game under. I think this will be a tightly contested game. Three of the last four have stayed under. The home team has not won in this tie in eight matches, and they've had three draws during that span. So we're going Everton and Fulham under the three. Ipswich and Brentford. This game at Ipswich. Brentford minus 160-ish on the road. You can find them. They're the better side here. There's no question about that. 425 on Ipswich. And Brentford, they have not lost to Ipswich since 2014, and six out of the last seven have stayed under in this. I like the under three, and I also like Brentford to win this game, probably something like 2-0, so we'll go Brentford on the Asian handicap to get a better price at about minus 125, a small plus price there on Brentford. Southampton and Manchester City. Southampton's at home. They get City, who's trying to solidify their European spot. They're minus 455. And this is not going to be a pretty day for Southampton, who's plus 1,000. This is City all the way. It's either City or nothing. You play a minus 2.5, 2.75 goals. You just know they're going to probably steamroll. Bournemouth and Aston Villa. Bournemouth hosting Aston Villa. Bournemouth plus 145, the small home favorite. Plus 170 on Villa, who's very, very good team, but well managed. I like this game under both these teams. This is a big game for these two teams. You have four out of the last six have went over in this, but European spots were not on the line very often with Villa and Bournemouth. Well, they are here. So both these teams in a tight race for European spots. They want Champions League. They'll settle for Europa, but they definitely want Champions League. I think you're going to see a very good effort out of Bournemouth and Villa. I think that leads to an under. Newcastle and Chelsea. Newcastle hosts Chelsea. Plus 115 on Newcastle. 210 on the Blues. Newcastle, the home team, has won five straight and had points in nine straight in this fixture. So that tells me it's all Newcastle. Chelsea off a nice win against Liverpool. They were able to hang on. Liverpool with a hangover after winning the title. I like Newcastle here. I think they'll beat the Blues. Sadly, as that is for me to admit, I think they will get the job done. So look for Newcastle to take out Chelsea. Nottingham Forest hosts Leicester. Nottingham minus 285. Leicester plus 750. $4 on the draw here. Leicester's already going to be relegated. They got their nice win last week. We cashed with Jamie Vardy. 1.25 on the Asian handicap. I'll be laying with the Nottingham Forest club. Think they're just better. They need this. They hit a little bit of a sputter there. They were in a chance for Champions League. I mean, Nottingham Forest could be playing Champions League football. They've had a couple of poor performances lately. They think they bounce back here and get three against Leicester in a really, really good. I would expect a very good performance out of Nottingham Forest. Tottenham hosting Crystal Palace, Battle of London. Spurs plus 150. Palace plus 160 on the road, cross town plus 260 on the draw. Maybe that's where you want to go. I like the over here. I can see this game being like 2-2. Both these teams, to me, have not a ton to play for. They're both kind of settled in. They're not really going to be European threatening teams. So I think this could be a game with fireworks. So I like over 3 in Tottenham and Crystal Palace. Manchester United host West Ham United. Man United, that is. Even money favorite. Plus 260 on West Ham. Plus 260 on the draw in that one, too. I like the game over. West Ham was an under team most of the season, but now that they're safely in, they're not going to get relegated. They're not going to make Europe. Manchester United, that's all they care about. I talked about it last week, is their Europa League. So if they're still... Now, one thing I will say, if they were to blow this big lead they have in Europa and you find that out, then I would probably bet West Ham. But if not, I think this will just be goals. I think there'll be at least 2 goals apiece here. Both teams not going to care. United's not going to care. They're just going to be worried about that Europa final if they're in it, which they probably will be. West Ham, they're past the point of caring. They're just trying to get a little bit more of exciting brand of football. So Man United and West Ham, the home team has won 7 straight in this, so maybe that's a play on United. Liverpool and Arsenal, this game was going to mean a lot a few weeks ago, but not anymore. Liverpool plus 115, plus 230. On Arsenal. This game will be at Anfield. Arsenal is out of the Champions League, so that hurts them a little bit. Liverpool's already been out. What kind of motivation will Liverpool have? I don't know, but I think both teams will at least score a goal here. Maybe a small lean to the over, but we'll go to BTTS. The England Championship playoffs are underway this weekend as well. I think Thursday and Friday, so I'm gonna have to put those plays up a little bit early. Bristol City and Sheffield and Coventry hosting Sunderland. Should be a couple of really good matches there. Probably some tight unders there in the early part of that competition. That'll do it for our EPL plays this week. Again, you can find those at BLS_PRP. We'll have some championship. We'll have some Champions League and all kind of other good things on there throughout the weekend. No horse racing plays this week. Probably I'm just going to kind of get ready for the Preakness, but you're starting to get into that season where I'm starting to play Aqueduct regularly. Is Belmont Park still not ready yet? And the Belmont Stakes back at Saratoga again for the second straight year. So that makes things a tad bit different. It makes it, the track dynamic is much, much different between Saratoga and Belmont. But nonetheless, we will look forward to that. Most likely, Sovereignty will be back in that race. And one horse to keep an eye on, if you can find a future book and you find something on Rodriguez, the horse is scratched out of the Kentucky Derby. He's a speed horse for Bob Baffert. I think this horse is going to be very live in the Preakness. I don't know how much speed's going to be in there, so I can't give him as a full-scale lock, stock, and barrel play yet. But Rodriguez will interest me a great deal. Speed tends to hold at Pimlico. You never know about rain there, which can tend to help the speed. We've seen that in past years where horses can get on the lead and they don't get caught. So Rodriguez, if he's not going to be pace pressured, he has some ability to be able to ration his speed out and hold too, and I think he could be dangerous, especially if Johnny Velasquez is on him. That would suit him quite a bit. So keep an eye on Rodriguez. We'll talk more about that next week, at least on the radio show. I will not be here for Bettor's Last Stand. We're going to have a little bit of a hiatus. It's that time of year. We're going to be on some vacations. So BLS will not be here over the next couple of weeks, but we will be back in early June for a show and then step away again for a trip away and before we get back into the July mix with football and so forth. So you want to follow us at BLS_PRP. That's where you're going to want to be. WatchdogNetwork.com to listen to my contributions to the Pine Room on the Watchdog. We'll talk plenty of things, horses, sports, all kinds of things. I'll give opinions on there, but you can always find our stuff on Twitter or X. Visit us at the Pine Room Studios social media pages. Vote on Lunch Madness at Pine Room Studios on Instagram. Check us out on our website, pioneerstudios.com. Check us out on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Bettor's Last Stand, all of our Bettor's Last Stand episodes, all 131 of them, as well as the Pine Room Podcast, Soup and Stuff, On and On, Pine Cellar Girls, on down the line, all the things we got to offer under the Pine Room Studios umbrella, as well as watchdognetwork.com. You're going to want to check that out for all the great Watchdog local. It's just all great local stuff here on the Watchdog Network. So thanks for tuning in to Bettor's Last Stand. We will see you here in a couple of weeks. Be sure and follow us at Bettor's Last Stand, the Twitter page, BLS_PRP, and tune in to the Pine Room Watchdog radio show on Tuesdays and Fridays for more contributions from Bettor's Last Stand. That'll do it for me, and I will see you back here in a couple of weeks. Best of luck with your wagers. Until then, have a great weekend.